We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Welcome to Bear in Mind, the official podcast of Cal Athletics. Here's your host, Todd McKim.
Hi, everybody. Todd McKim, and welcome to another edition of Bear in Mind, the official podcast of Cal Athletics. And then we'll talk men's basketball with head coach Mark Fox here momentarily. The Bears be at home this week for two games. First of all, Thursday night, 7 o'clock against the Washington State Cougars. Rich Cellini and I will be on the air at 6:30 with the tip-off show. And then on Saturday, a matinee. Start at noon on the air with the tip-off show beginning at 11:30, the Bears hosting the Washington Huskies. So the Bears back at home and starting the first full week of a conference play. Of course, around the league, it's been interesting. Oregon State has had to shut down its men's and women's programs, so they're not going to go on the road this week to face Utah and Colorado. It's happened throughout the league, and so it's been difficult for a lot of teams. The Bears probably as much as anybody else trying to get a rhythm and a flow, particularly with the injuries this week to Matt Bradley, a sprained ankle. He had the sprained ankle a couple of weeks ago. Now the other ankle, he's going to be out for a while. And Grant Antisevic is going to be out a couple of more games for sure with that appendectomy he suffered just before Christmas time. But Coach Fox is having to rely on some other guys to step up and get it done. And one of those guys is Jared Heider, a transfer from Fresno State. Just was got his eligibility late in December, got the waiver like everybody in college basketball, that blanket waiver. So it's good to have Jared in the lineup. Had his best game against Oregon State on Saturday. He'll be counted upon to do a lot more going forward as a combo guard, point guard, shooting guard with Matt Bradley still on the shelf. And so for Coach Fox, what do you see from Jared Heider, who missed some time early with an injury and then got the waiver, got eligible, seems to be getting better and better each and every week. What have you seen from Jared's play?
So you're right. He's going to have to play himself into shape. He's going to have to, you know, because of the COVID separation, obviously he wasn't around our team because so he's got to learn what we're doing again. He's got to play his way into shape. He's got to find a rhythm. So, you know, it's going to be a while for him too, to come back to form, but we're thankful that we have him. Obviously with Matt's injury, we need all the help we can get. So, you know, it's, I think Jared's future is bright. And hopefully, you know, we were counting the other day. We've only had our entire team together in the gym. We've only had them together 9 days since last March, which is essentially over 10 months. And so we don't have a lot of continuity. I think it shows at different times, but you know, these days will pass and hopefully we can get everybody healthy at the same time at some point.
Boy, that would be great. Yeah, it's been really just unbelievable what you guys have had to go through through this year. And a lot of other teams going through the same thing, maybe not so far as the injury, but with the COVID. When I was going through some notes today and looking at some of these teams, and almost everybody's missed some games. Everybody's had to at least postpone some games. There have been cancellations, obviously, with the non-conference games as well. But I'm looking at a team like an Arizona State. I mean, they haven't played for almost a month. You look at now Oregon State. They've had to suspend their activities. They're not going to play their games this week at Utah and at Colorado. USC has missed some games as a result. Colorado, I think, has postponed like four and had to cancel some. You guys obviously have at least been able to play some games, although you had to juggle the schedule, so to speak. I mean, has it been worth it to at least be able to play some games whenever you have to play, not knowing who you're going to play and maybe even when you're going to play?
I think that's a loaded question.
I'm sure there are people scratching their heads like, yeah, you know, why are we bothering?
I think we play the games under these circumstances for several reasons. I think that teaching young people to function and respond in the face of great adversity is critically important. I think that having young people here together and keeping an eye on their educational pursuits and making sure that they have structure in pursuit of that is critically important. Obviously, you can learn a lot from being on a team and playing in games, and it's a real privilege to play. We have a responsibility to the league to do all that we can to uphold our end of the bargains with the league and with the television contracts, so everybody else can be funded and function and have their opportunities too. So has it been worth it for all those reasons? Yes. Has it been extremely hard? There's no doubt about it. And would we ever want to do it again? No. But if it ever happened again, would we? Absolutely.
Yeah. And I think it's worth it too for all those reasons that you've mentioned, because it's just important. It's part of the life lessons. You know, how do you deal with adversity? And when these kids, these young men and women leave, you know, intercollegiate athletics and go out on their own, what they've gone through this year will help them be stronger and understand how important it was and how much of a privilege it was to be able to compete, even if it's two or three games or 10 or 20 games, whatever it happens to be. So I agree with you wholeheartedly in that regard, no question about it. All right, this week we got the Cougars coming in. We got the Huskies coming in. Washington State started the season undefeated in non-conference play. They played every game at home, which is an advantage. Kyle Smith is their coach in his second year, like you are with your team. The one thing, having watched several of their games so far, and not a surprise because they did last year, they play really hard. And defense is a big deal for them. I mean, they're number one in the conference in a lot of defensive categories, whether it's field goal percentage, points allowed, whatever. Their lone loss just came this past weekend at home against Arizona in double overtime against a really talented Arizona squad. But what have you seen from Washington State when you look at the tape?
Well, I think what you mentioned, they haven't played on the road yet, so I'm not even sure they know what the road uniforms look like, because they haven't had to break him out of the box until January, which is a rare thing. But I'll give them credit. I mean, their team has played really well. They've had an advantageous schedule, and that's a smart thing to do. I mean, I think as you rebuild a program, you want to be able to have a schedule that allows your team to grow, helps them develop some confidence. And I think that if you can do that, and they've been able to do that back-to-back years, that's one thing that they were able to do that we were not. And I think it's really helped their team grow. And so they're playing with great confidence. they have been very good defensively, but they're really a hard matchup for people. And they have a senior point guard who's terrific. And so they're playing really well, and they're one shot away from being undefeated as they come in here. So we'll have to play extremely smart and extremely well to give ourselves a chance to win.
Yeah, they've got some players that can put the ball in the basket, in particular Isaac Bonton, a high volume shooter who leads them in scoring. Also, is a piece of pretty good rebounder. He's kind of a wild card because he'll take some shots that I'm sure you, as a coach, would maybe shake your head or scratch your head about taking. But oftentimes they go in. And when they go in, there's not a whole lot you can do. But they've gone the international route vis-a-vis recruiting, as a lot of programs around the country are. There's a lot of talent around the world these days. And your squad is another case that shows that international players can come over here and compete at a very, very high level. What are your thoughts about Cal and international recruiting, not only what you've done so far, but in the future as well?
Well, obviously, we have an international flavor to our team. I think that there's great players around the world. There's great players in the United States. We have to find the ones that can academically get the job done here at Cal, that are admissible, and then have the ability to help us win, not just to play here. They've done had a similar approach to go internationally. I would assume that it might be a little harder to get into school here than up there, but they found good players, and as they've rebuilt, they've certainly used the international element to help them, and they've got good players, and I think that their big kid might be the best, one of the best young big kids in the league outside of the kid from USC, he's a pogo stick, and he's long and athletic, and they really have done a nice job with their team.
Yeah, he's a really good player. F.A. Obadiji is his name, 6'10", and he's played really well this year. He's had three or four double-doubles, so he'll be someone to contest with. And then, of course, on Saturday afternoon at noon, the Washington Huskies come to town. Washington struggling this year, particularly scoring the basketball, but they're having a rough year. All you have to do is look at one game. They had Oregon on the ropes at home a couple of weeks ago. Oregon right now is one of a couple of teams that's undefeated and the only ranked team in the conference so far this year. So all you have to do is put on that tape and know that that's a team that can beat anybody in this league at any time, especially when they're at home.
Well, I think the thing that Washington has going for them also is they play a little different style than everybody else. Yeah. When you're unique and you don't, you don't see a defense like that very often. When you run into it, it can tie you up. But they've lost obviously, a couple guys to the NBA and had a kid that left school. And so they're not maybe as talented as they were a year ago, but they're still going to be hard to play against. And obviously with the injuries we have, we're not as talented as we were last year either. We may be better in certain areas, but when we're not whole, we're still a major, major work in progress. And so we're going to have to play with great intelligence.
Well, I would venture to say that anybody in the league that took their, top two scorers out of their lineup is not only not complete, but they're going to have a rough time scoring the basketball. And that's the case. One area where the team struggled a little bit, to say the least, was against Oregon State at the free throw line. I want to talk more about, from a coaching standpoint, when you have a guy or two, and maybe sometimes it's a team. I've been around some coaches that say, okay, we're going to shoot extra free throws, okay, and we're going to make an effort to get better, and we're going to emphasize it. And then there's other coaches that say, I'm not going to overemphasize it because then it does become a mental thing. What is your approach to things like free throw shooting when a team or an individual is struggling?
Well, I think you have to look at the individual and for instance, Lars didn't shoot the ball well. And I thought he was making a technical mistake at the line. And so, he shot an extra 150 or so yesterday, and with an adjustment, I think he made 89 out of the first 100. And hopefully that will continue. When you figuring the elements of fatigue and a game and everything else. But you have to be able to shoot the ball with confidence at the line. And the only way you're going to become confident in shooting free throws is to practice them and to learn how to shoot them correctly. So, I think every problem succumbs to a great plan and to the right amount of work. And I think free throw shooting is no different. We have some work to do there. Our team has not, Lars feels awful about how he shot free throws at Oregon State, but you know what? He wasn't the Lone Ranger. We had three or four guys that missed free throws and the front ends of one and ones. And quite honestly, if we make free throws, we win. And that's the really disappointing thing about that game.
Yeah. And Washington State went through the same thing. They missed a ton of free throws in their double overtime loss to Arizona, or they probably would have won that game in regulation, certainly maybe in the first overtime. So it's part of it, I would assume, coach, is that I had a high school coach who was really good. His son ended up being an All-American at the University of Pittsburgh. And he was talking about neuromuscular repetition, that free throw shooting, you do it. And if you do it correctly, it just becomes, easier to repeat the motion in which you shoot. And you have to factor in the component of, confidence and those kinds of things as well. But over the summertime, not being able to do that, and shoot 500 a day or whatever it has to be, that has to be part of it as well, I would think.
Oh, I don't think there's any doubt that you see the effects of us not having an off season at different points throughout the games. We're not as strong as we would be if we'd had an off season. We're not as polished in some of our fundamentals that we would have been had we drilled on them all off season. I don't think there's any question that's a factor, but we have to move past it, and we have to battle through it. But you do need those thousands of reps to develop that motor memory. I think that's the one thing that I feel bad for the kids missing out on, because it's affecting their public performance. But it is what it is, and we've got to find a way to overcome.
I know we couldn't leave the gym unless we made five in a row without hitting the rim. Not just making the free throws, but that you had to shoot them. I tell you what, we had quite a few guys that were in the gym for quite a long time before they could make five in a row without hitting the rim. So, but it's a repetition, repetition, repetition. And hopefully with that additional repetition this week, you'll be able to knock them down. Hey, Mark, we appreciate you taking the time as always. Stay healthy, and we look forward to talking to you prior to the game on Thursday against Washington State and Saturday against the Huskies.
Thank you. Go Bears.
All right, head coach Mark Fox, as we mentioned, we'll be on the air. Rich and I will be on the air Thursday night, beginning at 6:30. The Bears taking on the Huskies at 7:00. And then on Saturday, an early game, matinee, will be on the air at 11:30 a.m. with the tip-off against the Huskies beginning at noon. So for Coach Fox, I'm Todd McKim. Thanks for listening this week. And as always, go Bears.
This has been Bear in Mind, the official podcast of Cal Athletics, with your host, Todd McKim. The preceding has been a Learfield IMG College presentation.
Let's jump into Peppa's world of play. Look for spring flowers, hunt for muddy puddles, and bravely explore exciting places with Peppa play sets. Peppa Pig, inspiring kid confidence.